Welcome to the Saturday, December 10th session of the Fish and Wildlife Commission, and a hearty welcome to our former, but still in our dear in our hearts, Phil Anderson. Is it more fun being on that side?
We'll see.
You can make nasty faces at us now. You know. That's good. Okay, we have a full day's agenda, and get underway with open public input. We have a number of people, and I think you all have done this before, so you know the rules of engagement. So Norm Reinhart and Tim Hamilton, please.
Good morning, Commissioners, Director. I'm back again. I come up with no prepared text other than a general thought this morning. This year, of course, we're getting ready to kick off the public sessions of North of Falcon. However, everyone's been hard at work behind the scenes getting ready for North of Falcon 2017. Everybody wants salmon, whether they're the tribal co-managers or the non-tribal folks, commercial, recreational, we all want fish. That's just the nature of what it is. What I'm going to urge is that we stay the course, because regardless of North of Falcon, of more importance is conservation. In the last decade plus that I've become publicly engaged in this process, I have watched progress be made in implementing policies throughout this state that help conserve and protect our fish, specifically our salmon and our steelhead. Today, there are efforts that are trying to undermine the progress we've made over the last 10 plus years. I'm asking us to stay the course. We have implemented policies in Grays Harbor and in Willapa. We're looking at a new North of Falcon policy, talking about transparency. What I'm asking the state, what I'm asking the commission, is please do not dilute these efforts. Allow the science that has driven these new policies to be proven out over time. Because we all know that salmon aren't like perch. They aren't like largemouth bass. They aren't like trout. And I'm talking about trout we stock in lakes. We know that these fish take 3, 4, 5, 6 years between their classes to show just how effective the policies that this commission have implemented. To change them just after we start, such as in Willapa, is nothing more than tantamount to bad science. We have to allow the science to pan out. We have to stay the course. Thank you.
Thank you, Norm. Questions? Steve Franson, please. And Tim?
Good morning, members of the commission. I'm Tim Hamilton. I'm the chairman of the president of Twin Harbors Fish and Wildlife Advocacy. The first time I came to before you guys, we were looking at Willapa and the effects and everything and state laws, and we asked the question, is Willapa in the state of Washington? As we got into it, we started figuring out where our fish were as we tried to manage it. The question I have for you today is, the state of Washington in the United States? We have an international treaty. We're a state that is governed by it. When we go in everywhere, we see the same problem. Now, out on our coast, I believe the figure in 14 was 86% of the harvest mortality rate on coastal Chinook, our limiter, was occurring north of Blaine. This left us a very small percentage of the fish left to have fishing opportunities inside the state and still manage for conservation. Because of the needs of the stakeholders inside the terminals, We kept pushing conservation standards constantly. You can't make three full fillets out of one salmon. With the help of Mr. Anderson, we were able to go address the Northwest or the Pacific Salmon Commission. Doesn't happen very often, I guess, but we explained to them we can't even manage our own fisheries for conservation standards or anything else when we have such a small piece of the pie left, and we're paying all the cost of this. And it's not our fiduciary duty to supply salmon elsewhere, we don't think. But most importantly, you got to give us enough back to where we can actually manage. The Canadians were very polite to us, and they made a statement. One more time, we object to the United States taking excess of its half of the salmon in Alaska. And if you will get off our salmon in Alaska, we repeat our pledge to help the state of Washington restore Puget Sound. This is a problem. We just went through an election where international treaties were a great discussion. This is time. I know this is very valuable for us, but under the current format, we're getting beat up. And I hope that you guys look at this very strongly, and I really appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule to view it. It's we got two problems, management outside the terminal and how we divide them up once they get inside the terminal. The conflicts inside the terminal we talked about yesterday are grossly affected by the small sliver of salmon coming back. Thank you.
Thank you, Tim.
Yes. Tim, I just want to comment on it a little bit. Understand your point. I've been involved on the Southern Panel of the Pacific Salmon Commission for quite a long time, and I'll just give you my view. We couldn't have a better team on the field on the U.S. section of our commission going into the Chinook Annex renegotiations. We couldn't. If they're out there, I don't know who they are. So I think we got to trust the guys that we got at the table. And it's not easy sledding dealing with Alaska and the power that they have and the fleet that they have. And then we got the international part with Canada. And Canada is willing to help, but they also want their harvest rate that sometimes doesn't always match up with the help piece. So keep the faith, because I think the intent is certainly there to get this resolved to the best of our ability and their ability.
Well, one of the things I'll comment on that is that, I always lay all cards on the table. Mr. Anderson and I have not always agreed in the past. And I appreciated his help getting us before it. And when we got down there and we saw that process set up like in United Nations, huge number of staff and people into vested interest. That's a tough job, Larry. It's a bureaucracy that is really phenomenal and technical. But I can also tell you that in my world of politics and business, where is our federal delegation? That is an international treaty, and I want to know where my federal delegation, where Maria is, where Senator, you understand what I'm saying? And what I'm hoping to come out of this is this commission leads the way to ask for help, because where I believe our biggest problem is the domination by certain states with political capability. This is not a science issue. This is dividing up the money. And we're not getting proper representation on that board in review, and it's up for renegotiations. I'm hoping that you guys figure out a way you can help us with that.
Well, there is an active participation by an individual from the State Department. I can't recall his name. Phil, what's
Dave Hogan.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the federal government is there, and I guessed him. I'll just say one more time, it is very, very complex, and I'm putting my money on the team we got at the table on behalf of our section, and hopefully you'll find some resolution that's good for us and good for the fish.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Hamilton. I'm glad that you did take the have the occasion to go and see for your own eyes what takes place. Mr. Carpenter's comments are right on. I would add, too, as far as the federal, where are the feds? You do know that the Pacific Salmon Treaty is set up where the federal government does not have a vote in these decisions. So, you know, that they certainly do have influence in terms of the power of the pen. However, yeah, the feds don't have a vote in this process. And that was designed intentionally when the treaty was put together. So you do realize that, right?
Yeah, I realize that. And I also realize that the Fed controls the renegotiation of the treaty, or whether it goes away, or whether it's amended. And if there's an unfairness and imbalance in the way the treaty was written that is affecting us today, that's where we would go for them. But as far as it's the states and D.C., yes, I understand.
Thank you, Tim.
Thanks.
Wayne and Steve.
Good morning, Chairman Smith, Commissioners, Director Unsworth. My name is Steve Franson. I live here in Olympia, and I've been providing technical advice or assistance to my colleagues that call themselves Occupy Skagit for over 3 years now. And maybe we're a little bit out of order this morning. Wayne should probably speak first, but basically, I'm not here to complain this morning. I'm here to offer thanks and congratulations to the Commission. Perhaps the thanks to the Commission, congratulations to the department and staff who got the Skagit Steelhead Management Plan drafted and sent off to NIMS last month. It's in NIMS hands now. Frankly, the plan is it's way more comprehensive than I would have thought necessary, but you probably cannot dot too many I's or cross too many T's with an issue that it's so technical, so administrative, and so legal and barely biological, but there's plenty of that in there too. So I think the bases are truly covered, and I'm really excited to see what the federal review of the plan amounts to. It's very good work. Thanks.
Thank you, Steve. It's always nice to hear positive feedback. But I missed the sign.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Not everyone could come from
okay. Well, maybe we could have that for our archives.
That could be right.
Okay. And Francis and Wayne.
Good morning, Commissioner. Director Unsworth and former Director Anderson. It's kind of appropriate that you're here. You were the director when we started Occupy Skagit. Several of the members of Occupy Skagit have retired. It's kind of we kind of wondered if this thing was even going to outlive it, most of us, but it didn't. You guys did a great job. We're here to thank you, and that's all we're here for. We're not here to beg, plead, pester you about anything. And I'd like to take this opportunity to present you guys with this on behalf of Occupy Skagit.
Oh, wow. Wow. We still get the sign, though, too, right?
We'll bring you can. Yeah, we'll bring it. Which one would you like?
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. That's lovely. Well, Francis, are you going to keep the spirit going?
No. I don't know.
Call up Marilisa.
I'm here to give a report card from the recreational perspective. You know, later on, we're going to be discussing whether or not to go forward with the full implementation of the Columbia River policy for 2017. But it's related to that, but I want to just switch gears a little bit in terms of how well are we doing with what's transpired already, or what should have already happened, without having to go that last leap to say we're going to implement the full thing. And, you know, it ties in with North of Falcon. You know, how well is the policy being implemented? I put that in quotes because I really don't think your will is being done. I mean, you delegate the execution of this policy to staff through the North of Falcon process, and I just don't think it's really working all that great. And I hate to be the guy to break the trend on the kudos and the thanks, but I'll just go back to one of the prime goals of the policy is to create a recreational priority for Chinook on the lower Columbia River below Bonneville Dam. I wrote to all of you last spring begging, pleading, can we please make that happen? We squandered the three biggest runs of Chinook that we will experience probably in my lifetime. And we couldn't get a full season for sports for this supposed Chinook priority for recreation. It's got three pieces. A full buoy 10 season through Labor Day, August 1 through Labor Day, full meaning no mark select, no funny days of the week. We just go fishing. If we can't fish on the three biggest runs of the year through Labor Day, something's wrong. The second piece of that was Tongue Point to Warrior. It says a full season through September 7th, and then we go mark select 8th through the 14th of September for those 2 weeks, or for that last week, I'm sorry, for conservation. And then the third piece was to have from Warrior Rock to Bonneville, full season August 1 through the 31st of October. Let's just back up to 2015. It was pretty recent memory. It's the biggest run of Chinook salmon we've ever had. We got shut down for 10 days at Buoy 10. 10 days. We didn't even use all of the impact that was available. And I come up here and stand before you guys and talk about, you know, we can't spend down to the last fish. But, you know, the conservation is built in there. It's that ESA impact. That there's the conservation. Beyond that, it's allocation. It really is. That's what we do at North of Falcon. We figure out how to kill fish. The conservation piece is already in there. But we didn't get our fair shake. 70-30. It came out 60-40. If you look like we didn't spend all the impact, but I'm just saying that we're not following the policy. The people you delegated to execute this policy are not making it happen. And so it's hard for me to even have that discussion of going forward when we're not doing what we should already be doing. That's what I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Francis. Any questions? Okay. And Mary Lisa, you're the last one. Good to see you.
Good morning. Thank you for this opportunity to speak again. I'd like to start by saying thank you and talk a little bit about Willapaw Bay and policy implementation and guidance also. I find that, I just want to say that 2015, you know, was the best Chinook recreational year we've ever seen, and 2016 was the worst. The Department of Fish and Wildlife overestimated our run return, and, you know, that's not their fault, but that's a fact. And mid-season, September, I don't know, 4th or 5th or so, I called Chad and I said, hey, you know, it's really clear that we're not getting the number of fish that you've estimated, and I really think we should do something. I think that it would be appropriate to maybe do an in-season, you know, recreational bag limit reduction, maybe from 4 to 3 or possibly 2. And simultaneously, I unless you wanted us to tar and feather everybody, you would really have to implement a delay in the commercial season out in the bay for a week. The fish just weren't coming in. And I was denied that. I felt that it would have been appropriate to use in-season management adjustment on a species that was targeted for a recreational priority. I felt that the policy clearly allowed for it. The policy does not say that they must go in on that certain date in the south end of the bay. It just says that commercial fishing can't go in before a certain date. So I would like to request maybe some better clarification to the Department of Fish and Wildlife on issues like that. Climate change and low water levels may continue to throw us curveballs in the future. Certainly, for conservation-minded purposes, I feel this is appropriate. I felt I was fair in asking for a reduction across the board. This would have allowed, you know, at least some chance of a decent recreational opportunity. I think you'll find in the end, when the CRC data comes in, that the commercial fleet just killed it out there. I mean, what few fish we had, I think you'll see that it's impossible not to speculate that they're going to have at least 60 to 70% of what we had, because those fish were still sitting out there waiting for water, waiting for temperature, who knows, waiting for their grandmothers to arrive, but they just didn't come in. So can we please get some direction on clarification on policies and what this policy, this good policy that we spent so much time crafting, let's use some fine tuning to help make it the best that it can be. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions from the commission?
Any questions?
Thank you very much. That brings us to